Thank you very much, Bruce. Am I coming through all right? I turned it on. Good. All right. I like that. I need all the help I can get. What a joy to be here at Charity Baptist again. We always look forward to coming here. And as I've said many times before, if we didn't live so far away, this is where we would attend. Such is life. We live where we do, and we're doing all right there. I want to thank you all for your prayers. I got a little bit concerned a while back, a couple weeks ago. I started running a fever for no reason that I could find whatsoever. I had no idea why. I never did find out why. It just simply, I ran a fever. And for about 5 days, I think probably. And then all of a sudden it went away just as quickly as it arrived. And so thank you for praying. And I've been fine ever since. I want to report on my wife, too. She had cancer last year, colon cancer, and some chemo. I like to kill her, but she survived. And there's no way I can get her to take chemo again. If the cancer comes back, she's ready to go. But the good part is, every test, and there have been several now in the last year and a half, have indicated there is no return of the cancer. That doesn't guarantee it's gone forever, but it's certainly reassuring and encouraging that it's not here, and so we're just very, very thankful to God for that deliverance that He's given her. She's feeling mostly good. She's not as peppy as she used to be, but she keeps having birthdays too, and that probably has a little something to do with what's going on too. So, all right, it seems to me I had three things to tell you, the other just, I continue to be a chief rooter for your pastor. Every time I talk to him, it gravitates immediately to some passage of scripture, and of course, I agree with him. Not to keep him happy, but because he is a scholar. He really is. And I appreciate him, thankful for him, and I know you're happy with him as well. So that's wonderful. I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Chapter 10, verse 13. And I'm not turning there. You say, what's going on? He's got his Bible there. Well, my eyes aren't what they used to be. And so I print out the scripture in my notes so that I can read it better. And that's it. I direct your attention to this passage of Scripture this morning as one of the most sobering verses of the Word of God. I say sobering because it tells us we do not have to succumb to temptation. Ooh, is that sobering? It is for me. There hath no temptation taken you, and there have been some that have taken you. That's normal. That happens. But such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you, that means allow you, to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray the Spirit of God would meet with us, enlighten our minds and hearts, open our minds and hearts, that we might pay close attention to what you have here in this single passage of Scripture, a single verse. But oh, how loaded it is. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us to receive your word and to put it into practice throughout the week, the months, the years ahead as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Christians sin. Ooh, that's a nasty thing to say, isn't it? But the truth is, Christians sin. God never intended that we would be sinning. And so, well, then why doesn't he stop it? Well, he has his reasons, and we'll talk some about that. I like to remind people of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. But we start with verse 8, which many of you could quote along with me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But never stop right there. Don't stop there, because verse 10 continues with the word for, expanding on what we already read. For we are his workmanship. Salvation's by faith, salvation's by grace. Salvation is a work of God. And God has a purpose and a will for us after he's saved us. And here it is. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, as soon as God has saved us, we're to get busy. We're to get busy in doing the will of God. We're to get busy in dealing with sin in our lives. We're to get busy in executing in our personal lives that which God intended for us to do. The reality then is simply this. Temptation to sin against God is always present with us. It is real. And it is something that plagues all of us, Pastor Justin, Pastor Cox, it matters not who you talk about, those sweet girls there. We won't go there, but they struggle with it as well. And Galatians 5:17 says, the flesh lusts against the spirit. We still have an old sinful nature, and it's called the flesh, and lusts against the spirit. James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Ooh, there's the root right there. Why is this? God promised, the reason this is so is simply that God promised to forgive us our sins once for all. To forgive us our sins once for all. He did not promise to remove our sinful nature once for all, in this life at least. I'm looking forward to the resurrection. Then it's going to be different. 1 Corinthians 15, towards the end, they're talking about the resurrection and Christ coming back. And he says, this corruption, this sinful nature, must put on incorruption. And oh, what a day that's going to be. I look forward to that. Many new Christians struggle for a while, oftentimes, thinking that they've lost their salvation. They get all excited about the fact that they've trusted Christ. They have the promise that their sins are forgiven. But then reality sets in. And they realize they've failed to do all that God intended for them to do. That's natural. That's normal. The reason that they struggle with that until they learn that that's a normal situation is they come face to face again with their own reality. That is, they're still sinful individuals and they're to struggle against sin. God promises that you can overcome every temptation that comes into your life. I say that's sobering. That's convicting. That brings personal guilt. When you think you yielded to temptation, you sinned, and you didn't have to do it because God has made it possible not to. So we want to focus this morning on overcoming temptation in your life. Overcoming temptation. First of all, overcome your temptation convinced that you still are a sinner. Sometimes people can't come to that conclusion. I went to college and seminary in Minneapolis, and there was a pastor in that city that believed he had gotten rid of the root of sin in his life. Our pastor knew him, talked with him, said, I'd like to have a conversation with your wife. Well, I make some mistakes yet. No, you sin yet. That's the starting point. We need to understand Paul in 1 Corinthians is addressing Christians. He's addressing people that struggle with sin. In fact, this church was a church with believers, but it was a church that had significant problems as well in their lives. And so just come to grips with the fact that you have something to battle against. Secondly, be convinced as you struggle against temptation. Be convinced that your temptations are common to man. Wow. Notice in the verse, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. They're not something that only you struggle with. Sometimes it's just really encouraging to know that other people are struggling with what you're going through. It may be with sickness, but we're talking about temptation this morning. And you don't talk about your temptations, do you? Oh, you talk about temptation to eat too much ice cream, things like that. But temptation to sin? No, you don't want to own up to that to begin with. But that's exactly what he's talking about here. Be encouraged. Be encouraged that other people, all people, all men, sinners, unregenerate, unsaved, saved alike, everybody struggles with sin. Not the worst kinds of sins, maybe, but sins are pretty broad. You know, anger, bad thoughts, all kinds of things, immorality, and everybody struggles with them. So be encouraged. And two thoughts ought to encourage you with regard to this. You experience the same temptations others experience as well. They are temptations that men in general experience. They are not unique to you. So that's a sobering thought. I think this whole verse is sobering. It's encouraging and it's challenging at the same time to know that this is the case, and it's challenging them to say, I need to get busy and fight temptation like other people are fighting as well. Secondly, there's no superhuman temptations that come upon you. You may think they're the worst anybody could possibly endure, but the truth is, they're not the worst. They're just powerful for you. Suppose the devil could put desires in you which you absolutely could not resist no matter how hard you tried. That would free you from condemnation, wouldn't it? Then you could say, the devil made me do it. Huh. The devil doesn't make anybody do it. The devil tempts. He tempts powerfully. He's slick. He's sneaky. But he doesn't force anybody. he just goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What you need to do is tell him no. Resist him so that you'll not fall for the temptation. Be convinced of your own sinful nature you have until you die. Convinced your temptations are common to man. And thirdly, convinced that God will help you overcome every temptation. How about that? God does not tempt anybody to sin. God helps us avoid yielding to temptation. God is faithful, you see. But God is faithful. Wow. The faithfulness of God is really just very amazing to me. The longer I live, he limits every temptation in your life to your ability. To your ability to handle it. Remember what he says? He'll not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. How can that be? God says that's what he does. Take him at his word, and when you yield, say, uh-oh, I botched it again, didn't I? Yeah, I didn't need to yield. I thought it was just too much for me. God does allow temptation into the life. God does not tempt anybody personally with sin. He does not eradicate the old sinful nature. He does not chain the devil. He's going to do that in the future. During what we call the millennium, 1,000 years, he's going to lock him up. But sin will still be committed in that time period as well. That's how bad we are in our sinful nature. He does not remove you from the influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's constantly with us, that is your project. You need to know the Word of God, know what God dislikes, and work at getting rid of it out of your life, and God will be faithful to help you with that. But God wants you to live holy lives, consciously, determined to live lives that please God. Again, I remind you, he saves us in order that we might live, as Ephesians 2:10 said, pleasing in his sight. Think about this. If your wife, if your husband, if your parents loved you because they had no choice, they're like animals. They just had no choice. They did what they're programmed to do. Would that be exciting? No. I see several shaking your heads. No, you agree. That would not be exciting. You want somebody that consciously loves you and cares for you and loves having you around. And God must get satisfaction from animals doing his bidding, but he after he made the animal kingdom, he made man and gave us a will and gave us responsibility, and we're to exercise our ability to please him. So God does not control the amount, control the amount and strength of the temptations that come into your life, whatever their source may happen to be. Now, you can plead, well, I'm German, or I'm Swedish, or I'm, name whatever excuse you find. But it won't work with God. God says, you can control your temptations with my help. Sometimes when we're driving through the countryside, we come across smaller bridges than you have on the freeway or main routes. And there's a sign there at the bridge when you approach it, and it has a tonnage limit. If the limit is 20 tons, you better not get on there with 30 tons because you may not get too far. You're going to weaken. God does that as well. God is able to do that because God is omniscient. God knows what you can bear. God knows your personal, spiritual maturity and development, and God knows what's coming. And God can regulate that. That's amazing to me. And again, to me, that is sobering to know that God does that for us. There's God's omniscience. He knows everything about you. Secondly, there's God's omnipotence, all-powerful. And God can regulate what comes into your life. You say, well, it doesn't seem like it. No, it may not seem like it, but that's simply because God is involved in a process. And you listen to Janet or Mickey playing that beautiful piano. They didn't get there. They didn't get there in 6 days. That takes time. It takes practice, and the teachers kept increasing the complexity of what they're playing, and God does the same thing in our lives, and we need to be willing to let him do it, and let him be faithful in our lives to mature, because the longer you work at it, the better you get at resisting temptation as well. And God will help you. Clearly, this acknowledges that temptation is real, compelling. Clearly, you are to overcome temptation. Clearly, God is vitally interested in your overcoming temptation so that he himself provides the way of escape. That's the next one. God will provide the way of escape. How can God do that? Because he's God. Because he guides your life. If you listen, if you pay attention, if you study the Word of God, if you memorize the Word of God, God guides, he gives us the tools to be able to resist. God is faithful. What are some of the ways to escape? Now, if you're going to escape, you've got to take action, you see. There's an ad in the, on the television lately. I'm drowning with this school debt. I said, well, start swimming. Do something about it. Get a job. Get two jobs. Take action, you see. Well, number one, I think, to fight it is reading. These are tools God gives us. Reading God's Word. It's amazing how ignorant many Christians are of God's Word. All they get is what they get at church, and they may not be too regular there either. Know the Word of God. Pray for strength and help, the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Make it a habit of regularly attending a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church as well. One of the things I really like when we come here is we see the same people all the time, and new people, as well. And you're not just fly-by-night people. Consider, here's another one. Consider the consequences of yielding. God holds us accountable for the way we live. He holds us accountable. I think of that constantly. What will God say to me after I die? You ever think of that? Yeah, you think of that too, you see. And we all ought to. You know, there's consequences for driving 100 miles an hour down Coors Boulevard. And there's consequences for the way we live, the things we say. Fifth, listen to good Christian music. Not just popular music. Good Christian music. You have such good music here. Such good quality. You may not realize just how good it is, but it's full of doctrine. It's full of the Word of God. And the more you understand the Word of God, the more you recognize how good it really is. Sing hymns. Learn hymns. Sing them during the day. Sometimes it's good to call a good, godly Christian friend as well when you're really, really struggling. Make new friends. Make friends that are a good influence upon you. I remember my wife's family. They trusted Christ. And they used to gather on Sunday afternoon with relatives, many of them unsaved. And when it got close to the evening service time, they said, you're going to have to go. We're going to church. They quit coming. No more visiting, you see. They made new acquaintances. Avoid places of temptation. Temptation is fostered by going to places where it's rampant to begin with, and flee the scene of temptation. Don't allow it to draw you away. Analyze your temptation situations. You will be surprised how many times these and other ways out are available to you. All you had to do was do what you knew you should do, but you did not. Beware of culture. Beware of Christian culture, even, that has taken up the culture of the world and struggle against sin in your life. Don't just sit back and say, okay, God, deliver me. It won't work. God calls us to struggle. And so in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God and fight against it. And God promises that he's faithful and he will help you to avoid yielding. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. I love that. God is faithful to help out, who will not allow you, suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. You see, if a fire breaks out, you start looking quick for an exit, don't you? An escape. Well, when temptation comes, look for the escape that you may be able to bear it. And God will give you victory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for each one here today. Thank you for each life, for each person that has trusted Christ. Lord, for any that may not have trusted Christ, I pray the Spirit of God would help them to realize they need a Savior. They need help struggling against sin themselves, and speak powerfully to their hearts. I pray that you would be with us in the closing moments now as we reflect upon this potent verse, this verse of such great encouragement, and as we examine our own personal lives again, Lord, that we'll be careful to make the decision, or decisions even, that need to be made. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.